Hello, I'm Aisha and welcome to the next Arable Focus podcast. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Doreen Anderson, HDB's Knowledge Exchange Manager for FarmBench, and she'll share with us the key highlights from the Arable Scotland Study Tour. Doreen will explain why change is key and the importance of mindset when farmers are exploring new business opportunities. We will hear from Richard and Anna Black, arable farmers who carry multiple new and exciting enterprises as well as running their main business in arable farming. Find out how Richard and Anna began their journey as well as the change in mindset required to take on the new venture. Richard Orr, and also an arable farmer and our Northern Ireland monitor farm, will be on this episode to share the new opportunities he has taken. Richard farms with his father at Meadow Farm in Downpatrick. Stay tuned to find out more.
So I'm Richard Black and run Braeside of Lindores Farm along with my wife Anna.
Hello.
We both run the business here at Braeside of Lindores. We are a mixed farming and diversified business. On the farming side, we have suckler cattle and breeding ewes, and we grow malting barley for the local distillery that opened 2 years ago. We've recently diversified the business to make best use of the assets on the place. We have an equestrian business, 3 luxury holiday houses, and we let out commercial shooting in the winter.
Hi, I'm Anna Black. So my background is banking. So I have a history in kind of commercial and marketing roles in Barclays and Tesco Bank, and I joined the family business, and I have taken great pleasure in kind of helping to make best use of our asset, just really bringing to life the opportunities, and do a lot of collaborating with people in the sporting industry and the tourism industry to kind of create experiences.
So, I mean, the farm, the diversification side of the business wasn't a new idea. It was something that was started 30 years ago when my mother started Lindores Cross Country. It was the first cross country training course in central Scotland. And again, the idea would come about just to give the business more stability and make best use of the hill ground on the farm. Latterly, why do we want to diversify? I think it wasn't from an initial need for financial security alone. I think it was actually just the want to do something different. And again, we've said just make best use out of what we've got. We're a very mixed business with different land types, and we want to utilise them as much as possible. First project that I was involved in was a community wind farm project, which was going to be one of the first community owned projects in Scotland. Really excited about the project, put a lot of time and effort into it. Unfortunately, it wasn't to get go ahead with planning. So it was a bit of a knock, but then we at the time thought, well, where do we go from now? And there was an opportunity at the time to build on a bit of ground on the farm that wasn't used, and we thought, well, we could put that to best use and build a house in it for holiday accommodation. So that's how the holiday accommodation started at the time. And then Anna, in 2014, I think it was, started to build up the equestrian business when Mum was at retiring age.
Yeah, and she'd really established a fantastic customer base, and it was probably second generation of riders were coming to use Lindores Cross Country, but more could be done, I suppose. And so with really working with British Eventing course builders and people in the industry, we've kind of breathed a lot of new life and investment into what is now called Lindores Equestrian, has been voted and awarded the best equestrian business in the national awards at the Horse Scotland Awards this year. So we're really proud of that prize and recognition. But yeah, tying that in with the holiday houses, what we did was we've worked quite closely with people to create experiences. So we've tried to really add value and help people understand what they can do when they come to Lindores. It's not just a holiday house destination. You can come here and you can bring your horse, you can bring your pet. We have created spaces that are accessible, and so we're very much open to a multitude of markets. And we get a huge amount of repeat business, and when they're here, we love it. If they enjoy the shooting in the winter, or if they walk their dogs, or we're very much open to working with other businesses locally to maybe create 5 food tours. And so the people that come and stay here get to understand about the food that we produce in Fife and the stories behind the producers. And so, yeah, we're very much into creating experiences and adding that bit of value. And yeah, we love it.
And I think the main thing is trying to get it all tied together. You know, the farm is very much still, you know, the heart of the business, and it, you know, the diversified side of it, you wouldn't be able to do that without that. And it's trying to fit it all together. It can be a challenge sometimes, but you know, when it works, it's quite rewarding, and it's good to get the feedback. It wasn't that long ago, I think, you know, the 90s, you know, I've heard it myself. Someone diversified, they were a failed farmer. You know, that there was a, it was quite, you know, that, or that was what sometimes the mindset was, and which was obviously just, you know, it was wrong. It's simply, if you can increase what you're doing and get things to sort of complement each other, you know, I don't really see any negatives in that. So it's good that the mindset has changed and folk are thinking differently, that you know, and everyone's strengths are different. You know, not everyone likes to possibly deal with the general public, but you know, there's other opportunities there that might tie in well with your business. I think it should be an open mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, and willing to give something a try without fear of it maybe failing, I suppose.
So when I left my job in Edinburgh, I was joining Richard in the business, and I don't have a background in the rural economy in terms of any jobs. And so I was a bit nervous about embarking on, I don't know, working on the farm, essentially. And so I did the Rural Leadership Programme the year after Richard, and Richard got a lot out of the programme. And thank goodness I did it as well. Like, I thought it was fantastic. And I think it played a huge part in my mindset. Really being open to change, collaborating with people in the industry, building up a bit of a network. And I think it's actually led us to going on international learning journeys, where we've been to Memphis and seen how other businesses run. We've just latterly come back from the Netherlands, where the focus was about breaking down that urban-rural divide and thinking about circular economies and really looking to the future, because with CAP reform and Brexit, we really have to be open-minded. And so for me, the Rural Leadership Programme and everything that embodied has really supported my mindset and change, and helped me understand the industry a bit better.
You say probably play to your strengths, you know, as individuals.
But if you don't have knowledge or experience in something, don't make that a reason not to do it. Mm-hmm. Collaborate with someone who does, so that you can, you know, as a fait accompli, you produce the package. So whether you're better at finance or marketing or operations, you champion what you're good at and do it well, and then work with other people to prop up the bits that you can't do. So we're doing that with, honestly, we've got, I don't know how many partnerships on our farm. We have so many business owners that operate on our farm. It's a very sociable place now, and I'm very proud that it's actually helping the economy. It's creating jobs and is a destination for a lot of tourists, both domestic and international, to come and visit and experience Scotland. So I absolutely love people, and so do you, Richard. Like, talking to people is just, I don't know, it's fun. It's then very, very inquisitive. And some people say I ask a lot of questions, but sometimes knowledge is power. If you ask questions and you understand the consumer, and if you understand your market, then you can create a product that they need and they want. And so talking is hugely important. And I think that's almost how the equestrian business has evolved. Now we have, you know, 30 stables, and we have up to 40 camps a year, and we're selling out, and we're doing very, very, like, you know, we've got a fantastic engaged equestrian audience that come and stay and ride and relax, and that's all spawned off the back of communication, speaking to people and listening to what it is they want, and then just delivering on it.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest fears of maybe people going into, you know, a diversified business that time. If you're bringing the general public on, it's people say, oh, it could be a bad thing, but it can be very, very rewarding, as you said, Anna. It's you know, it does have its pitfalls sometimes, but it can be fantastic, and actually allowing you to engage with, I mean, that's our consumer, and bringing them on farm, and whether they're here on horses or staying the holiday, lodges, you have conversations with them and explain, you know, what you're doing, where's barley going, you know, where's the beef going, this is the process, and it's great, yeah, and it's great to engage like that and get feedback as well and see what their thoughts are on farmers, because a lot of the time it's quite surprising how little they do know. Sometimes farming has got some big challenges ahead. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the next few years, but very much so I think there's a bright future there, and there always will be. Things might have to be done differently in the next few years, who knows, but I think us as a business, we certainly, you know, it's not like we've diversified and the farm is kind of second fiddle now. We want to try and embrace new technology and look at opportunities when they arise to grow that part of the business as well, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So
we're actually, I don't know, we seem to thrive on always looking at new opportunities. And
yeah.
Certainly from the trip to the Netherlands, they are very good at working with the universities and bringing in the youth and the kind of just new trends. And so off the back of that, and then I've just had a couple of meetings with universities in Dundee last week, and we're just like discussing new projects and how we can actually get the universities to help essentially stress test them and build on them. So, you know, not everything falls on our shoulders. You can work with other people to push projects forward. We've got three different things actually. So we're going to produce briefs on three different projects, throw them over to the unis and speak to the programme directors, and then they'll essentially look at, well, actually, that's maybe a project of interest to this programme, or there was a multitude of different options, actually, and I don't know what the answer is, but you just got to go and try, like, yeah, it was, I don't know, nothing might come of it, something might come of it, but that's the whole point, it's just go and give it a go.
Doreen Anderson, Knowledge Exchange Manager. I lead up the team for the UK, but at the moment I'm covering Scotland and Northern Ireland with the arable business groups, etc. I think they need to be open to change. I think they need to be aware of it. I think they are aware of it, but it's about doing something about it. And instead of being that I've always done the same thing, they have to be open to new ideas. So I suppose two reasons. One of the first reason was to get the farmers together. So we opened up the opportunity for the arable business groups throughout Scotland to come along. They're all represented here today, and we also invited along the Northern Ireland Monitor Farmer and any of the business group members that they wanted to come. So it's about opening the opportunity, giving them the opportunities to talk from different regions, because they're all facing the same challenges. But it's given them the opportunity to mix, and it's the networking. It's all about the networking and learning from each other. So by bringing them all together, and we've brought them out here into a couple of different businesses that there's a story behind them all, but they have obviously looked outside the box and looked for different opportunities, and it was just to open their mind and get those conversations going that we thought would be a good opportunity for them to come along today, but also to encourage them to come to the Arable Scotland event as well.
Just to go into the next step further, open their mind to what?
Open their mind to other opportunities that's out there. Looking at their asset, I think from what we heard from Richard today, and I thought one of the biggest things that I picked up was the fact that Anna was not from an agricultural background. So she's actually came in and looked at the asset rather than how it's always been done. And I think that in itself was, you know, a different set of eyes coming from a different industry, but looking at what the asset was that they had and what opportunities that they had to do with the same thing without, you know, lots of change, but it's huge opportunities for them. But it was just having different eyes from a different background.
That's brilliant. And from your experience and your knowledge, could you name at least three benefits that farmers that will receive by just opening up to new enterprises and just opening up their mindset to new possibilities?
If you ask a farmer why they're farming, an awful lot of them, it's not about the money, it's all about being here for the next generation and sustainability. And the only way that they can do that is by treating their businesses as businesses, which it is a little bit out of their comfort zone. And certainly, I think having the opportunity to share experiences and share your knowledge with like-minded people around a table, around a kitchen table, you know, it's a quite an informal thing. And being able to look at your business when we use FarmVage, obviously, but by looking at them at enterprise level, you're breaking your farm down into tiny little pieces that you've no other opportunity to do that. So I think that's three that I've covered. The main thing we're doing is trying to support them, trying to open their eyes to the opportunities that are out there, and by introducing them to other people, you know. And they were on about collaboration today as well. You know, it's all about collaboration. I think AHDB at the minute are doing an awful lot of collaboration. The likes of the event tomorrow, you see it with SRUC, you know, AHDB, they're supporting there, and it's definitely the way forward. The other thing that we're doing is the Facilitation Fund, and that's given us the opportunity to work with other consultants out with AHDB, and, you know, the relationships are massive, and that's got to impact and be an advantage to the farmers as well.
Can you share some examples of where you've seen successful changes within businesses?
We have had farmers change their rotation. They've made alternative choices with what their crops are actually growing, just by knowing that the crop that they had grown prior to this was losing so much money. So you can see that they've made changes. We've had some actually contract out part of their farm because they realised that was financially better than farming the whole thing themselves.
Can this be applied to any sort of agriculture and horticulture business?
So FarmVage covers arable, potatoes, beef and lamb, dairy, sugar beet. So, the beauty with the FarmVage programme, the way that it is just now, is that it does give you that opportunity to benchmark your mixed farm, whereas we didn't have that before. It was only sector specific. But the fact that they have to allocate 100% now of their costs, there's nowhere to hide. They've got to look at it, and to be honest, a lot of the learning is actually done just by gathering the data itself, because you're looking at your business in a completely different way. Mm. It's a bit uncomfortable in some senses, but it's so much worthwhile when you can get your head around it and get to the nitty-gritty of it.
Yeah. What do you think is important for farmers to consider and have this change of mindset at this time?
Change is coming. And FarmVage looks at the cost of production without subsidy, and difficult as it is, I mean, that's what everybody's saying is going to happen in a few years' time, and businesses will just not survive without it. So they have to be looking at what the options are and what the alternatives are that's out there.
In your opinion, how do you think that businesses can begin their journey of change and sort of consider opening up to other ideas? Where do you think they should begin?
Well, FarmVage, in my opinion, it has got to be FarmVage. It's got to be speaking to one of my team or one of the other KEMs that's out there in the sectors. It's completely confidential. There's nothing to be scared of. And when I talk about the programme or introduce it to anybody, it's exactly that. You know, we're not digging into personal situations. It's there to be shared, and you should be comfortable with it.
Thank you. And just to end the note on, is there anything that farmers should look forward to? Any takeaway messages?
Get involved with it, because there's not one person. The first year is always the most difficult, and it's not easy, but the gains that they have from it, there's never anybody gone back and said that they're not doing it again in the end.
Richard Orr, Northern Ireland Monitor Farmer. We're from Meadow Farm Potatoes, and sort of farm alongside my dad now, family farm, and it's just the two of us. And then when I got married 3 years ago, the wife came into the business and she helps me run the farm shop and tea room. Well, she doesn't really be on farm as such. She spends her time at the tea room and the farm shop, So she does all the baked goods and desserts, etc., for the tea room and for customer orders for the farm shop. She was an HR manager for 14 years, so she has a good background in staffing skills as well, so it's a big benefit when we're managing 14 staff on the premises as well. Yes, alongside the main farm business where we grow 200 acres of cereals, and we have about 40 acres of potatoes, which sort of is the backbone of where the farm shop came from, as we want to market the potatoes direct to the customer, to cut out processors and etc., and hopefully get better market return, which has worked. We're 21 years down the line now, which has meant we've had the addition of a tea room last November to expand that and bring in a new network of customers, to introduce them to our potatoes and give us more variety then in the farm shop. I suppose it all started back with the farm shop, and that was my dad's role then, and we could see that the market was changing, and it all really initiated from the supermarkets wanting a prettier potato rather than a quality potato, and trying to market that then direct to the customer ourselves, because we weren't going to go down the line of producing something that looked good but didn't taste good. So my dad started the farm shop himself 21 years ago, and gradually we built on that. But then we had the recession where younger families with less money didn't really care then about the quality of the produce, and we're going back to the supermarket. And when you lose them, it's very hard to get them back because they can get cheaper produce. And unless you put the good quality stuff in front of them again to really make them see what they're missing, you can lose out there. So we wanted to bring in the tea room to get that clientele back on premises and open up that market again, that we had the possibility of taking more money out of their pocket. Another issue we've had really, I suppose, in the last 5 to 7 years is convenience foods, where people are producing ready meals very cheaply. We even tried to produce them ourselves to quality standard, but we couldn't sell them at anywhere near the price they could sell them in mass scale. So that was a non-runner. So we needed another option. And also the retired elderly population are the ones with this disposable income. We already have them as customers, and if we can give them that extra experience to make sure they stay with us and spend more money, it helps bring more to the business. Well, the tea room expansion only completed in November, so that's relatively new still, but we're still trying to explore other areas that we can now capitalise from the tea room. One initially was a change in clientele, because we had the younger people in and a different clientele. They also wanted to buy different things in the farm shop, so we were fit to bring in local artisan producers with their produce that was more high-end but for the younger market, whereas the elderly didn't really appreciate that. So it gave us a wider scope of products we can use, plus it was hard to justify opening more than 2 days a week with the farm shop. But with the addition of the tea room, we're now open 5 days a week, which helps draw in a wider area because we've more days available for the customer passing. Future wise, there's a whole lot of wee things up and down in the air and we're playing with, but one that is becoming very evident from the customer base coming in is that they want a play park for the kids, because if the kids are happy, mummy's happy, and if mummy's happy, mummy spends money. So there's definitely a gap there that we can exploit, but there is issues and problems around that too with insurance, health and safety, etc., but we just have to overcome that. Plus we also have a great scenic view from where we are, just behind the farm shop if we go to the top of the hill, so there's the potential to add a walk and get the people out, stretch their legs, burn off some energy and come back hungry, ready to eat something in the tea room. So it gives them a wee bit more scope of what they can do when they do visit us. Well, I suppose it's having to adapt to change. If we're to stand still, it's a crude way of putting it, but as the elderly population dies off, it's very hard to get the younger generation to replace them to buy fresh local produce. So we have to try and encourage them in some other way. Otherwise, there'd be no point in growing something that you cannot market. Initially, at the start, my dad's very much, when you have an idea, you go and get it done yesterday. But with planning, service and regulations, it took 4 years, which kind of gave us time to develop the idea and hit the ground running, that we weren't coming blind after 6 months going, oh, we're ready to open for business. But yes, it was daunting. You're always thinking when you open, are you going to have any customers? Are you going to be fit to repay your new loan? Because we've spent about $250,000 in the year 2018 to get Tea Room up and running and going to satisfactory standard. It's gone beyond our expectations, because we're now employing 6 full-time staff and 8 part-time staff, which is brilliant for the local area as well. Actually, other than a Wednesday, which can be a wee bit quieter, it's fairly consistent every other day of the week, where you could do 200 covers in the Tea Room per day, which is sort of beyond our expectations and beyond what the business plan was quoting for. But we're also employing more staff than we quoted for, so one's sort of balancing the other at the moment. But yeah, not a lot of sleep in the last 6 months. So far it's positive. You just hope that as time goes past, your numbers don't dwindle. So that's where I think you have to always be fresh thinking and thinking what's the next thing to keep people happy. I think it's very much that you have to give the customer an experience. What's going to make them come to you rather than going to the supermarket? So if you can give them that all-round package and explain to them where their food comes from, that food provenance, the fresh quality, and make them go away satisfied with what they're doing. Well, I think right from the enter, you have a farm shop full of fresh local produce, either grown by ourselves or local farmers. So they're getting back to their local community and supporting local industry. Then they're going next door to the Tea Room, where that same local fresh produce is used to make their dishes, and it's all made fresh on site by local people. So again, it's feeding into their community and hopefully returning for them, and hopefully they're getting the satisfaction of enjoyment from it. So as time goes past, you're always, and the main thing at the minute is, I think pretty much this last 30 or 40 years in farming, our soil and our land's been underestimated, and it's our most important asset. So we're making a lot of changes in how we establish crops, how we disturb the soil. We've went to reduced cultivation in our potato crops, which has then opened up the option to do reduced cultivation in our arable crops. We're using cover crops in between to keep the land covered so we don't have any bare soil. And we're now, through part of the Monitor Farm program, which has made it a lot easier to manage, we have a 9-way drilling trial which will run for 3 years, and at the end of that, hopefully we'll have a better idea, the correct technique to take forward to make sure we're doing the least damage to our soil. Or if it really comes down to having a go, you gotta try. If you don't try, you'll never know, and what works for you might not work for your neighbor, and what works for your neighbor might not work for you. But if you don't try it, you'll never know. Start small, do a bit. I had a field that I put in a cultivation trial for 6 years. It hasn't been ploughed for 6 years. I'm now gradually introducing that to the rest of the farm and introducing the 9-way trial, and hopefully seeing the benefit from that. There's always nerves and worry, and at the end of the day it is a bit of unknown, but do your research, test your market, ask people that have been there or done it that you do trust. Yes, there's the odd person who'll give you the wrong advice, but pick your people properly, take your time. But at the end of the day, if you think it's right, go for it. Because if you stand still, you'll go backwards.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like any further information on anything we discussed today, please contact Taureen Anderson or visit hdb.org.uk. The next HDB podcast will focus on dairy, and we'll hear from Alistair, who will tell us more. Visit hdb.org.uk for all the latest news, research and information, and follow us on Twitter @thehdb to stay up to date.